Hey folks, Tyler here with another week's weekly audio e-newsletter. I think this one's probably going to be pretty short. I'm just going to be answering a question that somebody sent via email. So let's just jump right into it, and hopefully you can get something from our perspective on some of these issues. Okay, so somebody sent me an email, and they said, "I recently set up a corporation through LegalZoom, and I have my EIN number, and I ordered my business license, and I will have it in a few days. It is my understanding that I can, quote, attach my exemption account slash birth certificate bond, or whatever the proper term is, to my new business. The idea being that if I can show, quote, my assets from my exemption account, it will qualify me for funding, even though I have brand new business and my personal credit is poor. Please let me know if I was given proper info or not, and let me know if you do this sort of work." All right, so I already typed out a well thought out response, so this is my response. Your birth certificate is only equitable title to your body slash property slash offspring slash etc. The government has the legal title to those th these things. So they control you, and they take their taxes off the top of everything you do and everything you earn and all the property that gets put into your trust, your legal fiction straw man trust. They take taxes off the top of everything before you can have a right to lease or possess anything. Your body, your offspring, your currencies, your funds, your property, etc. So basically, they're the landlord. So the problem is you got a birth certificate in the first place, and it's split title, legal title, and equitable title. There's lots of other videos about this concept. If you don't understand it, look further into how trusts divide the title into legal title and equitable title. Furthermore, the birth certificate has no cash value. It is a title, like the title to your car. You cannot deposit this. Go and take the title of your car to the bank that you have a bank account with and try to deposit it. You cannot. You will find that you cannot. The only thing you can do potentially is you can mortgage it. If you have the title, you can put a mortgage on it.
Or
With a an
auto.
home mortgage, right? However, when you create credit or cash off of a title, like the deed of the house or the title to your car, this gives the rights, title, and interest to another party. Unless you make the monthly payments and eventually pay off the mortgage or the auto loan or the loan on the title. Then you discharge them from having any claim of any portion of the rights, titles, or interest from that title or property. Okay, and if you don't pay them off and then you default and you miss two or three payments in a row, this gives the creditor the right to repossess on your defaulted loan payment. So, my question to you is, and my question to all these people trying to cash their birth certificates. Why on God's green earth would you want to mortgage your body and all of your property, which is what the BC represents, in order to get a mortgage or in order to get cash, in order to cash out or get some cash or credit units, currency, whatever you want to call it, from your birth certificate? Why would you want to do that? How much is your life, labor, property worth? You're also selling the rights of your children because you got the equitable title over your children. If your children have birth certificates, then the government still has a legal title over them and you have the equitable title over them. But by being the parent, you have a 50% stake in the equitable title of the subsidiary corporation that you created until it turns the age 18 and becomes its own corporation. So why would you sell your child, your life, your body, your labor, your property Why would you sell that to somebody and give them a portion of it or all of it in order to get cash from your birth certificate? Why would you want to do this? Would you sell yourself to a banker just for money? This is the whole problem. What's wrong with the world? Everybody's selling their soul to the devil. If you're paying attention to what's going on, a lot of you know what I'm talking about in the music industry and in the Hollywood industry and in corporate America and in the governments of the world. Everyone's selling their soul out for the materialistic money up front, yet they have no spirituality at all. They have no integrity for their sovereignty. That's the whole problem, is that people have no integrity for their sovereignty and for their fellow humankind, and they're just selling their soul to the devil for materialistic gain. Okay, and you can take that literal, or you can take that as a metaphor if you don't believe in the devil. So would you sell yourself and all your property and all your children just to get some money out of your birth certificate if it was possible to do? I guess it's possible to do. I mean, it is kind of what they're doing. But why would you want to do it again? Why would you want to do it? You're already kind of in this system, right? But why would you have the thought to create this and sell your life away just to make some money? This is exactly what we want to try to get you out of, right? So that you can have your sovereignty back. This is the system that we are all fighting against, to find alternatives to, and to find ways to reverse and retroactively reverse, not trying to sell your soul to the devil just for some funding. There's more creative ways to get funding. If you're interested, go to locfundingapplication.com, and there's tons of creative ways to get funding. You can send me an application and we can help you to get funding. Unsecured business loan credit card funding. Okay, if you want funding, I can help you with funding. LOC for line of credit, fundingapplication.com. LOCfundingapplication.com. Don't sell yourself. Don't mortgage your own title to your body, your own birth certificate, just to get some money. That's not what you want to do. You want to reverse all those liens on your birth certificate and have free and clear title to it and get the legal title back to it as well, which is, we're going to talk about that. Discharging your birth certificate is what the way that you can obtain that. Okay, so we'll get into that. But the point is there's way more creative ways to get money, to get funding, okay? So I'm responding to this guy's email. So yes, you were given bad information, in my opinion. That's what I said to him. Now, he said something about an exemption exemption account. So I'm correcting and saying it's an exemption ID number, not an exemption account. There is no account with positive credits or units in it for you to use. That is just bogus. We've offered people $1 million to show us evidence of this, or evidence of a Fed Black card that gives you unlimited spending at your DTC account after you cash in your birth certificate. We've offered $1 million to people to show us proof of this. And over the last 5 years of running this website, no one has ever came to any of us that are involved with UCL or any people that I know. I know a lot of other people that do have their own website. Nobody to date has claimed the $1 million challenge. Please show us proof of this account with positive credits in it, and no one has called us back about it. No one has met up with us or asked to show it to us. So the 1 million challenge is still standing, and our website alone gets 300 emails and calls every single week for the past 5 years, and so far no one has shown us anything. I do know the other people that run the other websites in our niche as well, and they haven't seen anything. So on to the next topic. Yes, according to HJR 192, you can discharge debt, because there is no money to pay and the U.S. is in bankruptcy. You can't take your Federal Reserve notes and go to the Federal Reserve Bank, and you can't take a $20 bill out of your pocket, knock on the Federal Reserve window and say, hey, give me my $20 in silver. They won't do it to you. So because they won't, you can lawfully demand that they discharge your debts. dollar for dollar, quote unquote, is what it says in House Joint Resolution 192, Public Law 7310, etc., etc. You follow the trail of the statutes in Congress and so on and so forth. When you show them the law and hold them to it and send it to the right places, this will be done. But it has nothing to do with cashing your birth certificate. That is a different question and a different topic, okay? So the two are not related. So I just want to draw the line that this is a different topic, but I don't want to give you all bad news. I want to give you some good news. So let me package the bad news and why that doesn't work with something that you can do. There's something that I have seen work and something that I have personally done and can personally duplicate, okay? So yes, you can discharge debt, but it has nothing to do with cashing your birth certificate, okay? In order to discharge debt, first off, it must be debt that you have accumulated with a U.S. Social Security number, okay? You do not need to be a U.S. citizen, but if you have a U.S. Social Security number and that is the number that was used on the loan documents, then there you go. And if it's a U.S. or one of the state of California, state of New York court cases, you could discharge the court case, you could discharge the court case judgment, so on and so forth, okay? I do not know how to navigate that with other countries and whatever they use, social insurance numbers and other different numbers and things like that, but if it's with a social security number, U.S., U.S.-based loan, then yes, and U.S.-based court case, then yes, but no, you do not need to be U.S. citizen, no, you do not need to be born in America, you just need to have the loans here or the court cases here, okay, and the Social Security card, okay? And, so that's one prerequisite. Another prerequisite is you must, of course, be a full-fledged, fully completed secured party creditor, having the full secured party creditor SPC filings done. When you do this, you have discharged your birth certificate to show that you are not a federal / U.S. citizen, but you are a state citizen in the Republic, common law, i.e. American national, i.e. private citizen. They're all pretty much synonymous. They have slightly different meanings, but you're pretty much overlapping. You are a private citizen. You are an American national. You are a state citizen of the Republic, not the incorporated franchise state, all capital letter, State of California, which is a subsidiary of the United States Corporation anyway. So there's two State of Californias, there's two State of New Yorks, there's two State of Texases, and obviously go and research that. But if you read the free PDF on the internet called Cooperative Federalism, it explains that, and there's lots of other information, difference between state citizenship and federal citizenship. There's tons of information, it's free. If you just Google it, there's free information out there about that. So you must have the national status, and the way to acquire that, if you have a Social Security card, doesn't matter if you're a citizen or not. If you're a citizen, if you're naturalized, if you're not a citizen, but you have a Social Security card, the way to become a national or become a state citizen is to become a secured party creditor. Because by becoming a secured party creditor, you have to undo all those contracts. Now listen, if you don't have a Social Security number and you say you are a Native American and you never entered into the system, or your parents were very smart and they didn't issue you birth certificates and Social Security cards, and you're a grown adult today and you have skated through life without any of those legal person documents of the corporation of the United States / state of whatever state you're in, etc., then you already are an American national. So you might already be an American national. And if that's the case, if you're one of those people who have never applied for an SS card and never have a BC, never had a driver's license, and or if you are born on a Native American reservation or something like that and you don't have them, of course some people born Native American reservations do have federal benefits and Social Security cards, and then they give up their sovereignty when they do that, and it's a kind of a problem because the government's taken their land once, I think it's once 51% of the people are got Social Security cards and taking federal benefits, then they lose the sovereignty of the land, so it's a big issue. So that's something that the indigenous people want to learn how to be sovereign and not take these federal handouts because it's a trap, okay? So, but there are people that are already nationals. If you're already a national, then there's no need to do the secured party creditor process, because the secured party process is for people who we messed up, we fucked up, our parents fucked up, and we got all these legal person documents that have waived our rights, or have the presumption of us waiving our rights and giving up our sovereignty, okay? So, you need to become a national, and the process, if you have all these documents, is to reverse it, is the secured party creditor process. Now, as a national, you have a right to the remedy stated in HJR 192, but not as a citizen. They can deny you as a citizen. So, all these things about authenticating your birth certificate or showing proof of it or that you have it is actually the opposite from what you want to do. You need to show that it's discharged, not that it's authenticated. You need to show that it's discharged by putting the accepted for value stamp on top of it and placing it into your trust. If you don't know what that means, if you don't know the mechanics of what it means to, you know, I remember years ago, I didn't know what people were talking about. Put it into your trust. What are they talking about? So for the newbies that are here, putting something into your trust is just placing it into your binder. I use a three-ring binder for each different trust I operate. Mm-hmm. Just place it into your binder with the plastic covers if you want, and you don't have to. Okay, you could just put a paperclip on it and put it in your closet or in your file cabinet if you want to. That's all you really need to do, but I like putting it in a nice binder and putting the name of the trust on the outside of it and having things organized and the documents with the signatures on them. You know, they're important legal documents to be protected, so I put them in these three-ring binder plastic covers to protect them from getting wet and decay and, you know, things like that over the course of many, many years. You know, paper starts to decay, okay? And based on what climate you're in and the humidity and, you know, where you are, that's a bigger concern depending on where you are sometimes, but protect the documents because they're really important. So by putting something in your trust, you're just putting it in your files, putting in your binder with that same one that you have your trust declaration and any meeting minutes and any things like that, and you just keep that binder in at a designated address or location that you as the trustee who has access to but nobody else will have access to, unless you have another trustee or another secretary or manager for your trust that does something with organizing the documents and property lists and different things like that with the documents. Then of course you can assign that right to a secretary who's not a trustee, or you can be both the trustee and your own secretary or your own manager, which is probably the case because for most of you, you don't have gigantic trusts and you don't have lots of people being involved with them, okay? So to discharge is to take away the legal effect of, okay? To nullify, take away the legal effect of, balance down to zero if there's a balance due. Okay, so when you discharge your BC, you've taken away the legal effect of it. So it's like it was never created in the first place. Okay, when you do that with the SPC process, part of another step of the process after you do that is to send notices to the state that you were born in and to tell them to return your original birth certificate. And any and all property or documents with your legal name on it that they are acting as trustee, administrator, executor over, because they do not have lawful authority to do so, because you've taken control of your trust and you're the trustee running it, and you've discharged the documents that gave the trusteeship, executorship, administratorship over to the state and or its agents, so on and so forth. Okay? Now, what happens if the state that you were born in does not return these documents? Well, in a simplistic way, you've done your job by ordering them to do so and keeping a copy of your legal notice and keeping your proof of mailing, certified mail, signature, green card return, okay, is highly recommended. I lost my place here in reading this. You've done your job by ordering them to do so, and so keeping proof of your mailing and then posting that notice or the proof that they've received it and that they've signed for it, etc., on your UCC, either as a UCC3 as an update to your original UCC1 financing statement, or pre-posting it on your original UCC1, which you can only do if you use the certified mail number. If you have the certified mail number in advance that you know you're going to use for that designated mailing, that notice to the Secretary of State, then you can put that mail number on your original UCC-1 in advance. But if you didn't, then you would just post a UCC-3, and you would post a list of these certified mail numbers that you sent to these different offices, Secretary of State just being one of them. Okay, but it's one of the most important ones, your birth state, Secretary of State. There's other Secretary of States, there's other places as well. There's a full process you can get with us for more information, or to sign up for it and have us walk you through and do the entire process with you. There's something called the SPC. On the website, it's been branded as the SPC Done For You process. We're actually going to be changing the name to the SPC Done With You process, because it's a more accurate description of what it is. It's actually you doing it and learning it, but we're actually typing up all the documents and then holding your hand through it, and many, many, many phone calls and emails back and forth, and checking your signatures to make sure that you signed in all the right places, because many, many people make at least several mistakes if they don't have the guidance. So it is a you learn, you do, but you don't have to type up every single page. It's over 100 pages. We will do all that for you, but then once everything is typed up and prepared, we will walk you through and do it with you to make sure that you are empowered and that you learn. So anyways, you can update your UCC with UCC-3 or post it on your original UCC-1 if you get. That's why we ask people to get 6 certified mail numbers in advance that you're going to use, because we save time, you save money, you save filing fees. Every time you post a UCC-3 or a change or an amendment to your UCC-1, then you have to pay a fee and you have to wait. You have to wait for them to file it and process it. So we have a process where we save the most amount of time and headache, because we wind up doing a lot of these filings and we're trying to save ourselves time. Time is money. You know, the ability to help more people with your extra time that you saved. So we have the most efficient process, because we've been assembly lining them, you know, over and over for the last couple of years. So now, on the same note, again, you've done your job by telling them to return the documents so that they're no longer trustee over your trust, you're over your trust slash estate, but they may or they may not return certain things. As long as you have proof and you post on a public record on your UCC, you're good. However, there is another process that's much more involved, much more complicated, involving a comprehensive pulling of all those documents from them and certifying that they do not exist in their possession anymore. You follow that up with a FOIA report, Freedom of Information Act request report, to confirm that they do no longer exist in their possession. But that is a more advanced process, and well, let's start with where you are right now and what you need to do first and foremost. If you're not even an SPC yet, if you haven't even done the proper UCCs and sent notices to the birth state and all these different things, then you need to do that first. Most people are not ready for the full, complete pulling of all the documents, because many people are used to needing their birth certificate for proof of identification, their social security number to get loans, proof of ID, travel to open up bank accounts, passports. Some people receive benefits that are only you can only do as a social security number, etc. So if you're not already comfortable and paying your own way and running your own businesses, for, you know, and never going back to needing a job again, and if you're already comfortable living without these documents for the last year or two, and you can provide for yourself with all your own income, and you can travel internationally with alternative documents, no problem. You can engage, you're competent enough to engage in contracts in the capacity that you are without this legal person, corporate US identity, legal fiction trust identity, then that's great if you can do that. So for most people, you need to just think about doing what you can do right now and upgrading your status from where it is right now. And the basic SPC process is a very, very, very powerful process. And then you always have, although you've ordered them to demand to return those documents back and forth, if you ever need to use or show your birth certificate or social security number at any point, you at least you have the option to always do it. And then in order to just be on the same page as what you've done, you can always do a rescission of the signature later on and post the UCC-3 revocation of signature of any benefit, you know, Social Security benefits, unemployment benefits, any of these things that you've gotten, loan documents, whatever. You can always do a UCC revocation after you've got the full use out of what it is that you're trying to do. And that's something that we can help people with too as well. So that's basically it. I answered a bunch of questions. I guess I went on a little bit longer, but I always try to give as much content and as much detail. And for the people that already know most of what I talk about in these audios, I forgive you. Hopefully there's one or two little nuggets of information that you can take. I had someone comment that the last audio I sent out was very elementary. So I don't know, maybe I'll start putting, this is for beginners, this is for intermediates, and this is for advanced. And if you are very, very advanced, maybe you can skip over the beginner audios, but there's people on all spectrums and we need to bring people further along from what they know. And so, yeah, some of the audios I am kind of talking to people in kindergarten, and some of the audios I'm talking to people much, much, much more advanced. So you must forgive me for that. So anyways, I'll keep putting out these audios. Hopefully if you're listening to this, you're getting a lot of value from it. And I'll keep answering people's questions. If you have any questions, feel free to email them to us, and we'll keep answering them in this format so that everybody can get the use out of my thorough, long, half an hour long typed email, rather than just one person or one man or one woman getting the benefit from me typing a long email reply. You get a lot of emails. So anyways, thanks for your time, and brothers and sisters of the UCL family, if you need us for anything, especially if you need anything immediate, if there's something you can't wait on, if there's something that you really just have determined that you're committed to taking action on and resolving 110%, instead of if you've tried lots of different things that haven't worked and you're still in the process of learning, we're all in the process of learning, but if you just want to get it taken care of and handled and completely done, we have experts in different departments of remedy, and we'll just be upfront with you and tell you whether or not we can totally discharge or totally resolve that situation for you. Just give us a call at 505-340-3632. I'll say it one more time. It's 505-340-3632. And number one right now is the sales department / inquiries department. And Ava is mostly answering people's inquiries and filtering them through to different departments and or getting information back to them. So feel free to call us there and let us know if there's anything we can help you with. All right, see you guys next week.